This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Program. Now is the time to create your dream business, and Jim Palmer is the perfect business coach to help you get that done. Jim offers three different coaching programs, and as a member of his mastermind group, you'll also benefit from the advice, wisdom, and inspiration of other successful entrepreneurs. This is a group of action takers, so if you're tired of slow to no growth and are ready to finally grow your dream business, go to www.dreambizcoaching.com. That's www.dreambizcoaching.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Berg, co-author of The Go-Giver and author of Adversaries Into Allies, and you're listening to Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. And those are always great things in any business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and as always, I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm so excited about this week's show. My special guest is none other than my good friend, member of my coaching program, just an extraordinary speaker, Mr. Brad Zolas. Let me tell you a little bit about Brad, and then we'll bring him right on. He's a cross-generational expert and a business consultant who helps small companies and individuals understand how technology transforms culture and behavior, and how that impacts management, interaction, and expectations. In other words, how do you manage, market, and sell to a new tech-savvy generation, a generation that's kind of raised on information age tools since childhood. Brad is also the international best-selling and award-winning author of Liquid Leadership, From Woodstock to Wikipedia, which delves deeply into the subject of new leadership styles, mainly on how to get, again, the tech-savvy Generation Y and analog baby boomers working together. Well, it's an awesome book, by the way. I've read it. With a 35-year career as an entrepreneur, Brad started his first business at the age of 16 and has been called a serial entrepreneur with a unique ability of finding valuable lessons and humor even in the toughest of circumstances. What's really cool, Brad started the first dot-com company to go public on NASDAQ. It was called K2 Design. He started that without startup capital, bank loans, or financial help of any kind, and within 3 years raised over $7 million through private placement of an IPO, had 425% growth. Nah, that's not too bad. For five straight years, attracted over 60 really awesome employees, four business partners, and they had offices worldwide. Brad was catapulted from entrepreneur to C-suite executive and began to apply a unique management model to the first wave of young tech-savvy Generation X and Y workers, all of which, by the way, are retold in the book Liquid Leadership. And now, as exceptional as Brad is on the whole cross-generational thing, I've asked him to come on to this call, but also come speak to my Dream Business Academy coming up in San Diego in May as one of my Dream Business faculty. The reason I'm having Brad come there is he is an exceptional speaker and keynote performer. And so he's going to teach you or everybody that comes to Dream Business Academy exactly how to use speaking to excel and build your platform. So without any further ado, and quite frankly, I'm a little tired from the introduction, let me welcome Brad Zolas. How you doing, Brad?
Really good. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm always astounded at listening to those intros and, you know, the things that I hear. I'm almost disconnected from myself, like, who is that guy?
I know. That's so awesome. By the way, next time I have you on, I'm editing that intro because the show's almost over. So listen, as I mentioned, you are coming back. You were one of the presenters at Dream Business Academy in Philadelphia. last year and this year with at our event in San Diego. I've asked you to come back because, and it's kind of a funny story, everybody. I kind of teased Brad. Brad got a standing ovation for his performance. I'm not sure I did. I think I got a pretty good applause, but Brad got a standing O because I asked him to come in and talk in our bonus evening session in Philadelphia about the speaking business, how to be a speaker, how to engage your audience, get them to listen and hang on your every word, and he did so well. I've asked him to come back and kind of expand on that session, and so what I've asked Brad to put together is kind of what are some of the secrets to overcoming stage fright and building your core business through speaking, because I think a lot of people, it's funny, I just, as we're recording this, Brad, one of my videos was about, you know, doing the things that you need to do to build your business, and I shared how I knew, everybody knows speaking is something you should do, but most people are afraid to do it, myself included for a while, but then once you do it and you see the result, it's like you want to do more of it. So, again, what I've asked you to do is come in and help people. You gave some really good stuff last time, but I want to go back a little bit and help people get off the dime, so to speak. So I love the title of your presentation again, The Art of Keynote Speaking, Five Secrets to Overcoming Stage Fright and Building Your Core Business. So, Brad, my first question is how can people, entrepreneurs, small business owners that know they need to be speaking, get over their apprehension and stage fright and actually make it happen?
That's actually easy and hard at the same time. And you're probably sitting there going, what are you talking about, Brad? Well, I used to be on Wall Street. I'm comfortable in front of audiences. My family was in the entertainment industry since I was a child, so I've been on stage probably my whole life, starting at the age of 9. And I played drums. That was my big thing. My mother played piano and sang, and I played drums, and I accompanied her. Now, imagine that. At 9 years of age, a little blonde-haired kid with his mommy going around and playing at country clubs and events and things like this. And we played all the standards, My Funny Valentine and, you know, everything. So I'm sitting there, and as you're picturing this, I was petrified being on stage. But you know what my safety net was? I'm behind a drum set. I'm behind a drum set, and it's very easy. I have music. I know what I have to do in the moment. So I play. But as I got older and I started being asked to give speeches and things like this, I started to study the craft and the art of speaking. And this may sound funny, and most of you have probably heard this before from famous speakers and things like this. I was deathly shy as a kid. Does that surprise you?
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, and I'm outgoing now. I'm like this. My father broke me of that habit of being shy. My dad was tough Hungarian. He decided that you're going to sit outside and say hello to the neighbor kid, and you cannot come inside until you say hello. And I sat at the end of the driveway. The new kid just moved in next door. He sat at the end of his driveway, and we stared at each other for an hour. And a storm was brewing, and it was either going to be me getting struck by lightning or I'm going to say hello. And I finally said hello, and I ran in, and he said hello too, and that was the end of the conversation. I ran inside, and I went up to my room, and I sat there, and I realized it was more painful to sit there emotionally and not say a word than it was to just say hi and leave. And from that moment on, I push myself to get over any kind of fright I have with other people. And if you know me today, I can walk up to a total stranger and we can strike up a conversation and they actually feel as if they've known me their whole life. And that was just training.
Brad, it's so cool you say that. First of all, that hi, that was my initial conversation with my wife Stephanie when I first met her, and then we both ran away. But, you know, I was a drummer also in high school, and I know exactly what you're saying. I didn't want to be out front, you know, like a guitar and bass player, but I was hiding behind these drums. But, you know, the other thing, and it's so interesting you say that. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a huge Elvis fan. And Elvis, when he used to come out on stage, used to walk over and his one of his techs would put a, you know, that black guitar on. And he never really played. I mean, he did play as a person, but he didn't play too much live because he had a whole orchestra and band. But the reason he did that was he was incredibly worried and afraid of being on stage. So after he got through the first song or two, he'd take it and hand the guitar off, and he was off to the races. But he did use that as kind of a shield, he said.
Yeah. That's interesting, because I always find I don't have stage fright anymore, but I do have anxiety. And some of you are like, well, what's the difference, Brad? Well, fear is when you come around the corner and there's a lion right in front of you and blood's dripping from his mouth and he roars and you are scared. Anxiety is when you hear a lion roar and you have the same reaction. And that's the thing. Our mind plays tricks with us. So for myself, I had to learn that fear and anxiety are actually the same thing and your body reacts the same way. And when we get up to the microphone or when we try to stand in front of an audience, you have to get used to, okay, my palms are sweating and the back of my throat is dry. That's normal. Where we get caught is we fight that and we try to suppress that and we try to hide it. It's okay to be nervous. It's okay to have sweaty palms, especially in the beginning. Let me move on a little bit. There's a dirty little secret I almost never tell anybody, and that is I was a stand-up comedian for 8 years. Professionally, yes. I went from Wall Street and building my business and creating this dot-com company, and then I walked away from wearing suits every day and standing in investor relations meetings and things like this and speaking that perfect, you know, that perfect-looking speech all the time. And I decided to sign up for stand-up comedy lessons. And my first comedy coach was brilliant, and I'm still in touch with him today. But he taught me not to be perfect on stage. And I want people to write that down. You don't have to be perfect on stage. And some of you are probably sitting there going, but Brad, I'm giving this great speech, and I'm a doctor, and I'm all these other things. Hey, people don't pay you to be boring. They pay for you to be entertaining, exciting, and give them the information. And that's the key. You know, I'll give you a good example. My very first professional gig, although I didn't get paid for it, I was speaking upstate New York to a chamber of commerce. And I went out, and in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I have to be this former executive who's standing up in front of the crowd and giving this amazing information and having the PowerPoint up there and doing all this great stuff. And I bored the tears out of the audience. I bombed, basically, in my first professional gig as a speaker. And I went home with my tail between my legs, and I sent my videotape off to my speaking coach at the time. And he looked at it, and he calls me up, and he says, hey, Brad, I just saw your speaking video. And now let me ask you again. You used to do stand-up comedy, am I correct? I said, yes, I did. He goes, did that guy show up at that gig? And I said, no, he did not. And he said, here's what you were doing. You were lecturing.
Mm.
Lecturing is
wow.
The death of any speaker, because it's the assumption that you are above your audience. Lecturing means you're the authority and everybody else out there is a student. And people, especially adults, if you're talking to them, hate to be treated as if they're a student and they're expected to learn something today. What your job is on that stage is to reveal yourself and share your stories. And your primary job is to be entertaining. That really is what it is. So when I go on stage, my attitude is this. I'm going to wow you. I'm going to make you laugh. I'm going to just give you an experience that when you walk out of the room, you sit there and say, oh, I remember what he said. You remember that thing he talked about? And that usually is my award-winning formula, because it just helps people remember me and what I'm talking about.
You know, first of all, I got to say, I've only asked one question, but I don't want that's such great information, so it's going to be a hard interview to compress it. But, you know, I want to recognize a couple things you said, that feeling that you have, nervous energy or anxiety, is okay. I forget where I first learned that, but I would say, Brad, that was a turning point in my ability to speak, because I didn't get nervous like, oh God, I'm shaking, I'm throwing up upstairs in the room or whatever. But when I came down, when I knew I was like 1 or 2 minutes from being introduced, that's when it was like, oh God, there's like no, I can't leave, I gotta go do this, you know. And
right.
When I learned that energy that you feel, somebody said that is not nerves and this, that, and the other thing. He said that is your energy, that's adrenaline, and what you want to do is embrace it and harness it. So, yeah, when I speak and you've heard me and I have this video that plays before I go up on stage, once that rolls, I know exactly, oh, goodness, I got like a minute and a half and I'm going up there, and I start tapping my toe. Of course, there's music
right.
playing, but I tap my toe and I recognize, you know, I've got a few butterflies, and I'm thinking, yeah, this is awesome. Come on, give me more.
Yeah.
So I embrace it and I use it to kind of, you know,
yeah.
launch myself up there.
It's an amazing thing, and for those of you listening, Jim and I, we share the stage a lot of times at different summits and conferences, and we joke with each other in the back before he's going on or before I'm going on, and you can just see in both of us, we love doing this, and you almost have to trick your mind and your body together and just tell yourself before you go on stage, I love doing this. Ah, this is the best, and it's true, and it'll come across. You do not want to be that person that goes on stage and the audience is sitting there going, wow, he looks like he's in pain up there, you know, because it's scary. And some of you are listening, you're like, how am I going to get from point A to point B and be at the level you guys are at? Well, guess what? There are guys who are way beyond our level, men and women, who are mind-blowing to us. So you start where you start. Be willing to make mistakes. You're not going to be perfect the first time, but you are going to learn the craft of speaking.
You know, so I know the title again of your presentation in San Diego is The Art of Keynote Speaking, 5 Secrets to Overcoming Stage Fright and Building Your Core Business. So we're going to talk more about some of these other secrets, because that one right there is extremely powerful. But let me even back up a little bit more. Why is speaking to a group of people so powerful as a business building strategy? Can't you just like mail postcards, make some phone calls, things like that? I mean, why does somebody actually want to give a crap about being a speaker?
I'll tell you why. You know, yes, you could build a business just by sending out postcards and things like that. But if you really want to take your business to the stratosphere, you have to get up on stage. Look at Sir Richard Branson. Look at Tony Hsieh. You know, and there's a dozens and dozens of other business owners who sat in the boardroom and did the mundane task of building a business from the ground up, and now they have to speak in front of people. Now, the great thing about that is they have enough fame and business and success that when the audience shows up to listen to them, they're already primed and open and ready to listen because, oh, it's Richard Branson. He's crashed how many balloons into the ocean, and he built Virgin,
yes.
and, you know, Atlantic Airlines, you know, and Virgin Records. He's a cool dude, and he's going to take us into space. But, you know, now is the job of becoming entertaining, and here's why these guys are quickly in the driver's seat when it comes to be entertaining, because a lot of times these guys are boring in real life. If you ever sat them down, they'd be just like one of your regular guys that you'd have a beer with. The reality is they hire coaches, and they tell phenomenal stories. And that's one of the big keys, is telling a great story. And we all have stories. The problem that the average person has is their stories lead to nothing. You have to take those stories that you have, and they have to have a point that aligns with what you want to communicate and talk about.
You know, it's interesting, and that's just another huge nugget, is storytelling is really the art. Well, first of all, storytelling is the art of marketing, branding, speaking. It's the art of everything.
Yeah.
Because, like you say, if you get on stage and just start spouting statistics and facts and, by the way, this is why you want to do that. I mean, again, people are going to yawn. But when you go up there and you actually tell stories, and you know, if they can relate to your experience and how you've done something, overcome something, people will get engaged with that. So that's a big one too. The other thing, which I think is, like you said, if you want to take your business and build it on, you know, like at a slow pace, nothing wrong with that. But if you want to go into the stratosphere, and I think the word that I want to add to that is faster. then you need to do something which takes your marketing from one to one, which is when we all start. We'll go to our chamber meetings and networking events. We'll swap cards. That's always one to one. You want to go from one to one to one to many. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can do that, you know, video and social media, all kinds of different things. But speaking gives you a chance, instead of saying your whole spiel to just one person, you can say it to 20 or 200 or 2,000 mm-hmm. people.
Right. Well, that's the magic of today. We're on the internet. We have video access that's instant. If you think about it, how many people can access one video all at the same time over the internet on YouTube? And you know, millions of people can be watching the exact same video at the exact same time on their laptop simply because of this technology. So there's no excuse anymore. And getting back real quick to what you're saying, how can speaking increase your business? Well, think about this. How many people do you think have maybe signed up for, gotten on the Virgin Airway flight simply because they like Richard Branson's message? Or how many people in business who didn't know about Zappos got Tony Hsieh to speak at their event, and now they're sitting there going, that's what my wife's been ordering all these times? Wow, let me get involved. They have men's shoes too and bags, and let me get in there. So imagine how much more business has been added to the bottom line simply by going and speaking.
It's powerful. When, you know, let me ask this, when did you learn to speak? When did you come out from behind the drums and did you do a lot of speaking when you were, you know, building your dot-com business, or was it after that?
No, you remember you talked about me starting my first business at 16 in the very beginning? Well, don't be impressed by that. What happened to me is this. I have a Hungarian immigrant father who was the first generation born here in the United States, and he made it so hard back in the 70s to ask for a $20 bill, it was easier to start a company. Okay, I want you to think about that. It was easier for me to start a company than to ask my father for 20 bucks, okay? So what happened is it was a discotheque, a traveling discotheque with some friends of mine, and we ran around and we basically just did these events. That's how we did it. So I learned to DJ and be up there in front of the mic, and I would do, hey, this is Brad Zales coming to you live. So it was more of a DJ kind of thing. But the reason I wanted to do that is I had been asked to do morning announcements at my high school from the first day that I went there. A freshman, they asked me to do the morning announcements. And so for 3-4 days a week, a lot of times I was on the microphone saying, good morning, everyone, at Lebanon Senior High School. Would the following students please report to room A218 immediately following morning announcements? And I go through a list, and then I do the national anthem. I did the whole thing. And that was back when we had records.
nice, so, vinyl records.
Yes, so here was the beginning of everything. Here I am. I'm a drummer, a musician. I get on stage a lot. I start doing morning announcements. I start doing other things, DJing. And then I think it was my senior year of high school or my junior year of high school, I signed up for a speech class. And the teacher just was phenomenal, and we had so much fun, and I learned to be a better speaker on different topics and things like that. Well, I didn't think much of this talent years later, and, you know, here I am. I'm in New York City. I'm a graphic designer, and I have to give presentations all the time. I get very used to it. And then eventually found myself in a niche part of the graphic design industry, which were large-scale corporate meetings. And that meant I was backstage while the CEO gave the big speech. And I was starting to pay attention to what some of these guys were saying, and I'm just saying, you know, they could have had more impact if they had said it this way or if they had done it that way or a gesture. And, you know, remember, I didn't even know speaking was a profession until maybe about 5 or 6 years ago. Doy. Okay. So I'm just making these mental notes in the back of my head. And as the years go by, I wind up, you know, on Wall Street, and I'm leading a dot-com company, and I have to get interviewed for television and some of the biggest publications out there, from New York Magazine to Inc. and all this. And then finally, I put it all down, and I start taking stand-up comedy, and then I learned the performance part of it. And I thought I was going to be a professional stand-up comedian until one day I sat back and I looked at my wife and I go, what do you think I should do? I'm hitting middle age now. And she goes, I think you should write a book about your dot-com experience and the millennials. I said, okay. And then I found out.
Is that where that came from?
Yes. And then
all
of a sudden I'm looking around and I realize, wait a minute, speaking is a profession? You can get paid? By the way, it is one of the highest paid professions in the world, speaking. And so now it's taken me, with my book being out and all these other things, I've worked so hard on my performance, and I'm not bragging about this. This is to let you know how you can build your speaking as a part of your business and build it up to such a point that I've had other speakers, colleagues, rush into the room to watch me speak.
I'm a testament to that. Absolutely.
Thank you. And I got the best testimonial I could ever get from Bengay III. And if anybody knows who Ben is, he's the author of The Closers 1 and 2, and he's worked with Zig Ziglar. He's a great speaker. He's a legend in the sales industry. He said, Brad is one of the best speakers I've seen in almost 40 years in this industry. I was like, whoa, I was blown away because I'm very picky about my performance, and sometimes I will say, oh, I could have done this better, or I could have gotten better at this, I need bigger laughs, I need to try, because I'm not moved by the standing ovation, Jim. I'm moved, how many people did I reach? How many, are the people in those seats looking at me and saying, whoa, I want to know a little bit more. How else can I get in touch with Brad? And that's the more important part of the speech.
You know, we have about 4 to 5 minutes left, so it's probably unfair that I ask you a big question like this, but just maybe give us some overview. But what's the meaning of life now? How do you build a talk, like construct a presentation that's going to, as you say, it's going to teach, it'll engage, most importantly, you know, it'll connect with the audience, and I think you want them wanting more of you. How do you actually put that together?
Well, you do it almost like building a fence. And you're probably like, what? Okay. You put a post, and then you have a horizontal beam, and then another post. And what that means is you start with 10 minutes at a time. Build your speech 10 minutes at a time by doing this. Come up with a point that you want to make. Tell the story of that point, and then end that part of the speech or that story coming back to the point again. And I'll tell you how I do it. I have a story I tell that is about the dot-com boom. And during that time, that's when I discovered this thing called the generational divide. And I always start with this. I go, how many of you are in a revolution, but you might not know it? How many of you are in a revolution, and you might not know it? Back in the early 90s, my business partner and I became a dot-com company. And I start to tell the story of how we started to sell those very first dot-com, website development and things like that, those services. And I started to discover that some of the people who were in the senior level, they knew what the Internet was, but everybody else in the company, they were clueless. And then I noticed that the people at the bottom who were very young also knew about the Internet. And I realized in the center of every organization, there was a revolution going on and no one knew it. See how I wrap the story up with the point?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you do it. You do it 10 minutes at a time. Point, story, point. And you do that until you can build 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, an hour. And that's how it is. It's a very simple formula, and it works.
So impressive. Obviously, you're going to talk more about that in San Diego, correct?
Absolutely. I'm going to show you how to craft that speech, how to have a killer opening and a killer closing, and also to plant some seeds about the business that you do from the stage.
Very cool. Why don't you take like 60 seconds, Brad, and kind of share a little bit about your presentation and what folks can expect.
Sure. What we're going to do is we're going to have fun. I'm going to show you how I put my award-winning presentations together one step at a time. And I'm going to show you by doing my opening speech. The first 10 minutes of what I'm going to talk about is going to be an entertainment, a moment for you to see what it's like to be a professional keynote speaker. Then I'm going to show you how to craft your speech step by step. We're also going to talk about getting rid of ums and ands in your speech. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
And I'm also going to show
you. When you mentioned that.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
You freaked me out when you mentioned it the last time. Every time I did it from then on, I'm like, oh, crap.
Yes. And we're also going to, this is a little secret I'm going to tell you, and it's going to save you 5 years in your career, and that is we're going to shift your language from I language, where you sit there and you go, I did this, and I'm so awesome, and here's what I think you should do. You're going to switch that language to, how is your business going to look in the next 5 years? In other words, you switch it to what your audience needs. So we're going to cover a lot of ground, and we're going to have a lot of fun in San Diego, Jim.
That's awesome, Ken. We can't wait, my friend. And by the way, speaking of stand-up, I don't know if you've saw some of my social media, but my friend Craig Willeen, who's a pretty smart marketer out in Southern California, he's coming down to attend it and pick up a thing or two.
I look forward to that.
He does stand-up also, and I said, dude, if you're coming to my event, you have to do some stand-up. He says, I will. So we are going to have some laughs and also learn some really great stuff. Brad, I can't wait. How can people connect with you in the meantime?
You can go to my website, which is liquidleadership.com, or you can shoot me off an email, brad@liquidleadership.com, and mention this podcast, and I'll shoot you off an email on some of the three things you can prepare for in San Diego.
Awesome. Brad, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it.
You got it, Jim. Thank you.
All right, buddies, all right, friends. That wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio with rockstar entrepreneur, superb speaker, Brad Zolas. Stick Like Glue Radio is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Be sure to check out and grab your seat at dreambizacademy.com for more information. That event is May 7th, 8th, and 9th in beautiful San Diego. If you're an entrepreneur that wants to grow a more profitable business faster, and who doesn't, you need to be there. As you're hearing this, we're about 60-65% sold out, so grab your seat. This is limited seating at this type of event by design. And that is it. Okay, folks, that's a wrap. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio next week. And until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Hey, now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.